Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's good to be together, virtually, to sing these songs of praise. Let's lift our voice and sing, He's coming on the clouds.
He's coming on the clouds, and kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break, as broken hearts declare His praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Our God.
Cause our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Cause every knee will bow before
our God's the Lamb.
Our God is the Lamb that was slain. For the sin of the world, His blood breaks the chain. Cause every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb.
Alright, let's sing. So open up the gates.
So open up the gates. Make way before the King of Kings. Our God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Our God!
Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Cause every knee will bow me.
Our God's a Lamb.
Our God is the Lamb that was slain. For the sin of the world, His blood breaks the chain. Cause every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb.
Let's take it up. All right, let's sing. I waited patiently.
I waited patiently upon the Lord, and He inclined and heard my cry. He pulled me up out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock.
He gave me
beautiful ashes and joyful my mourning and praiseful heaviness. He put a new song in my mouth and a crown upon my head. He gave me life forevermore.
You see, you've been so good.
You've been so good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me, Jesus.
You've been so good.
You've been so good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me, Jesus.
You pick me up, you turn me around.
Cause you pick me up and you turn me around and you place my feet on a solid ground.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing that with me.
Cause you pick me up and you turn me around and you place my feet on a solid ground.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pick me up, turn me around.
Cause you pick me up and you turn me around and you place my feet on a solid ground.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pick me up, turn me around.
Cause you pick me up and you turn me around and you place my feet on a solid ground.
Hallelujah. You've been so good.
Oh, you've been so good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me, Jesus. You've been so good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me, Jesus.
We sing one more part. I got love.
I got love, joy,
peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Whoa, oh, oh, yeah, you sing it.
Whoa, oh, oh, yeah,
I got love, joy, peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Whoa, oh, oh, yeah, I got love.
So good to me, so good, so good to me,
Jesus.
You've been so good, so good to me, so good, so good to me, so good, so good to me, Jesus.
Let's all sing together. Holy.
And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Let's all sing again. Worthy of every song we could ever sing.
He's worthy of every song we could ever sing. He's worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever
sing. Worthy of every breath.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Oh, we live for you. Holy, there's nobody like our God.
Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and still, leave me still.
Just send you what you sing about a glorious name.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation.
Together. What a beautiful name.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King.
What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
You didn't want heaven without us.
You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name. Name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of
what a wonderful
Jesus.
Name.
What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Let's sing about the power of his name. Death could not hold you.
And death could not hold you. The veil tore before.
Death cannot hold you.
Death cannot hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the most of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again.
You have no rival.
Cause you
sing holy, there's nobody like our God.
And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Just take a moment, wherever you may be. The Bible says to be still and know that I am God. Any chaos, any noise in your life, just allow it to fade away and to cast your gaze on the one who is the beginning and the end, who is the author and the perfecter, the finisher. Help us to know you, to know the power of your grace, to know fellowship with your Spirit. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, the church said, amen.
Welcome, everyone. My name's Coley. I'm so glad you joined us for worship this weekend. I have some announcements for you. The first one is our Fusion Sunday night service will be resuming indoors on Sunday, August 22nd. So if you're a young adult between the ages of 18 and 35, join us on Sundays at 6 p.m. starting in just 1 week. You can go online or check out our app for more info about Fusion. Our women's gathering is coming up soon on September 1st, as we'll be kicking off our fall together. We'll be meeting in person and online to worship together, be encouraged by God's word, and just to have fun. All women are welcome. We really hope to see you there. You can go online or check out our app for more details. Our next baptism class is on September 5th. So if you've made a decision to follow Christ and haven't been baptized yet, we encourage you to take this class. You can register for the class online. And we continue to encourage you to give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or on our website by clicking on the Give tabs. Thank you so much for your ongoing generosity. And now let's continue in our sermon series, Psalms, the Wisdom of Worship, as we hear from Matt Price.
Well, I'm so glad to have this time with you. Lindsay and I just got back from vacation. And, you know, I love to leave on vacation, but it's also such a good feeling that I also love to come home. And I've been looking forward to being with my Christian Assembly church family. In fact, I hope I get to run into you in one of our weekend services in the next few weeks. I'm thankful for the time to get away, but I'm glad to be home. We've been looking at some psalms this summer to gain wisdom that's found in worship. And I want to look at another psalm with you today. But first, I want to ask you, where is home for you? And what really makes a place home to you? As human beings, we are all naturally home creatures. We're home builders and home makers. We're even home wreckers and home renovators. We spend time on the internet. We go online to home pages and we run for home bases. We even sit at home and watch on our TVs other people hunt for homes and fix up homes. Homes are really big deals for us. Where's home for you? What makes a place home for you? Lindsay and I have a tradition of spending our vacations in the summer at my family's home in East Texas. It's a special place for us. Now, it's hot there, and people always ask me, isn't it humid? And it is. The humidity is intense. A lot of you would not handle it well at all. My parents' home that we go to is on the outskirts of a little town outside of a less little town, miles away from a moderately sized town. There's no shopping malls, there's no movie theaters, there's no good restaurants, there's not even a Starbucks in the county. In fact, somebody just opened a new coffee shop, or opened a coffee shop, and it's the talk of the town around there. Chances are, if you ever had any random reason to drive through this part of the country, you would not find anything really appealing about it or any reason to stop and spend time there. But it's one of my favorite places to be. And it's one of my favorite places mostly because in a deep and significant way, it is home to me. My family, in fact, has been returning to that land there where my parents' home is for four generations. It's very much home to me. Where's home for you? What makes it home? The average American moves more than 11 times. Think about that. In a lifetime, more than 11 times they move. Now, and that's the national average. So you can just imagine in Los Angeles County that that number is probably even higher. We live in a very transitory society. Where people, they move often, and we move often in and out of temporary spaces. My wife, she grew up in a family that moved every couple of years. In fact, she attended, I think, 15 different schools before graduating from high school. She lived in cities all across the United States and across Canada. And so I asked Lindsay once, what comes to mind when she thinks about home? And the truth is, she really doesn't associate home with any place. The setting or location in her memories of home are usually just blank spaces or blurs. What about you? Where is home for you, and what makes it home? Not all places that are called home are sweet home. Some homes have been where you want to be, and other homes have been places that you want to leave in search of a different dream of home. But there is in all of us a yearning and a searching, a wishing and a hoping for some place to be home. And I want you to hear some words of wisdom from Psalm 90 that have captured my attention and have something, I believe, to say to all of us about home in life with God. We're told that this is Psalm 90, and we're told that it's a prayer of Moses, the man of God. That's how this psalm begins. Moses knows God and has experience with living life with God. He's a man of God, and he prays this prayer: Lord, through all the generations, you have been our home. Think about that. You, Lord, have been our home. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from beginning to end, you are God. And Moses says, I've found home in life with God. It's a profound statement about home. It's really profound coming from Moses, because let me tell you just a little bit about this guy's life. You got to know that Moses was born into a home in crisis, and to save his life, his family has to send him away from home as a little baby. Moses then gets adopted and raised in Pharaoh's home until he's forced to leave there with no home to go to. Eventually, Moses gets married, and when he gets married, he lives in his father-in-law's home until God calls him to lead the Hebrew people out of slavery. And when he does that, Moses spends the rest of his life wandering homeless in the wilderness. Moses has a very interesting perspective on what home is. Moses knows what it means to be homeless, and he knows the feeling of living in other people's homes, but never really feeling at home in any of those places. He's a homeless observer of other people's homes who has some wisdom to share with us. He's discovered that no matter where we are, no matter where we came from, no matter where we can go, apart from God, I am never really home. And only when I am in life with God am I forever home. home. Moses is talking about more than real estate. He's talking about more than location, location. He's discovered that there's no inflation or recession or depression when we make our home in God's love. There's no market rising and crashing and bubble bursting when we make the faithfulness of God our home. There's no foreclosures or evictions from being home in the grace of God when you make life with God your home. I want to tell you three ways that you and I can say what Moses says. Three ways that you and I can say, Lord, throughout my life, you have been home for me. More than any place, more than any experience, that life with Almighty God has been where I have found home, where I have made my home. You have been, Lord, where I found home. The first way that we can do that is to learn to rest upon God's love for you. Can you rest in your trust and devotion to Jesus? Is that a place of rest for you? Can you rest in God's forgiveness and mercy? Can you rest in the freedom for which Jesus has set you free? Have you found rest in life with God? If God is home for you, rest in Him. You ever been at home and you just let loose? Like, I bet if this is true of some of you, that you probably wear stuff at home that you wouldn't wear outside of the home. I bet that's true. I bet you sing and I bet you act goofy and I bet you do things at home that you wouldn't do here with us. That's why the sweatpants sales spiked last year while so many people spent so much time at home, because we want home to be a place where we rest. Now, some homes are not restful places because some people are too occupied with unrest to make their home a restful place. But home is meant to be a place where we rest. That's why homelessness is such a tragedy. Homelessness is a restless condition. It's a chaotic and troubled condition. But you know what? There are houses all around us in every neighborhood where people are living restless, chaotic, and troubled lives. Some people are not houseless, but are in a very deep sense homeless. There are people living like that in houses all around. Just like in English, in the English language, we have the words home and house, and sometimes they can be synonymous, but sometimes they can be different. The Hebrew people had a word for home that was different from their word for house. Moses uses a word that means more than a house, more than four walls and a roof. Moses uses a word that means a place that it's more than just where you keep your stuff. It's a place that means home. It's a place that can also, or a word that can also be used to describe a place where you lay down. This is the place you rest at the end of the day. Moses uses a word that some translations put it this way: Lord, you've been our dwelling place, a staying place, a settling in place, a take off my shoes place and put up my feet place. This is a make yourself at home kind of description of life in relationship with Almighty God. Moses says, Lord, through all generations, Through all of our moving and searching and stumbling and settling and our leaving and returning and dying and birthing, our wandering and wondering, through all the changes of generations and locations, we have always found the loving invitation to rest in God's presence. No matter what, to settle down in God's truth. No matter where you came from, to make a life in God's mercies. Lord, you, more than a place, you have been our home. You've been where we find rest. Crisis and disruption can happen in any house, but in the presence of God, rest can be found. Are you resting in God? He wants life with Him to be where you rest. Rest in His unending love. Rest in the truth of His Word that never passes away. Rest in the resurrection power of Jesus that will never be overcome. Rest in the abounding grace of God. That's how we make our home in God. Here's the second way we do it. Home for us in God is a choice that we make as we worship God. God becomes home for us when we choose to worship Him. Just like we choose where to live, to be at home with God is a choice we make. God becomes home to us when we worship Him. Worship has a way of, it makes a place sacred. It makes a place set apart for God to have His way. That's what makes this room special. We call it a sanctuary, a sanctified place, a place set apart. It's not that the drywall and the beams and the carpet make it that way. No, it's that we worship here. And when we worship, we recognize our need for God. We remember what we believe to be true about God. When we worship, we express our love and desire for God. We express our thanks to God. And that's what we do in this place together. And that's what makes even this place a kind of feeling like home place. For so many of us, we worship and the presence of God becomes home to us. When we finally started holding services in this room again, in fact, so many came through the back door and just said, it feels like being home again. And I know that some of you don't have a long history in this place, but that sense of coming home when we're together here, it's not a I belong here and you don't, but it's a sense of coming home into the presence of God as we worship. Worship is a choice that we make to come home into the presence of God. I had a friend recently find himself in a crisis at home, in his house, in his family, in his marriage. And he's facing circumstances in that place that he never saw coming. And he told me that when this crisis first blew up, he said that his first response was to just go into his bedroom and to cry out to God. He said he wailed, but he was wailing to God. And as he did, he had a sense of God speaking these words to him, "Lift up your head." And he knew God was saying to him, don't let this crisis destroy you. You are not alone. You are not without hope. You are not without the help of God. You are not without the redeeming love of Jesus who lives to intercede on your behalf. No, you are in the presence of God, which means you are right where you belong. And my friend, he had already made a choice. In fact, many choices over many years to, to make a practice of turning to God, to trust Jesus as Lord over his life. My friend is a worshiper. He had made a choice to welcome the Spirit of God to lead his life. That's something he had already begun to do so that when the crisis came, he knew where to turn. And he knew that he could come home in his relationship with God. I love the way that Paul describes this in Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 24. Paul says, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. God can't be held in some place. Verse 25, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since God gives to all life and breath and all things. And Paul says, he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and has determined, think about this, determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. God had a plan for you to live in the location that you're living in so that they should seek the Lord. See, it's not enough just to be in the right place. God's saying, hey, keep your attention on me. Seek me because home is found in life with him in the hope that they might grope for him, Paul says, and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Worship is a way we come home to the presence of God. Moses says, through all the coming and going, through all the searching and moving, through all of your choosing and regretting, through all of it, God never ceases to welcome us home into his presence again and again. And here's the third way we make our home in God. Our homes become outward expressions of how we live, and your life can become an outward expression of your life with God. The space you live in, think about this, says a lot about you. We express ourselves in our homes. Some homes are full of carefully collected furniture. You might live in a space like that. Or maybe for you, you just want a comfortable place to sit. Just give me my chair and I'm home. Think about what gets hung on your wall. What gets put on your refrigerator? What stuff gets left out in your home? And what stuff gets put away? All of that has a lot to say about you and how you live your life. And the same is true about our relationships with God, the life we live in faith and devotion to Jesus. I'd know you a little bit better just by spending time in your house. And in the same way, I'd know better your life with Jesus just by spending time in life with you. And when you think about what's in your house, what's displayed in your house, I'm not talking about a home being covered in religious art or something. Lindsay and I have some words of scripture that we have on our walls at home, and that can be a great way to communicate reminders and encouragement of the message of God's love to you. But for God to be home, it's far more than just the externals. For God to be home, it's about a cultivated relationship of trust and dependence on Jesus, in which you are more and more at home in the truth and love of God, so that when others spend any time with you, they aren't just welcomed into your home, but they are welcomed into the presence of God that has become home for you. I'm talking about a life in which it is evident to see the way that you think and the way that you live has been rearranged by the truth of God's Word, where faith is clearly the strong foundation under which you have built your life, where the forgiveness and mercy that Jesus has offered to you becomes the bread and drink that you offer to those who spend time with you, where prayer has become a comfortable place where you sit, and your soul has been restored and renovated by the life-changing grace of God. For God to be your dwelling place, whatever is true of your life with Him will become evident to whoever spends time in life with you. Are you making your home in God? Are you making your home in the hope and wisdom, the grace and mercy, the truth and presence of God? The wisdom of worship in Psalm 90 tells us to make our home in God. And maybe for you, that means come home to God. Maybe it means come home to rest with Him and to receive His love for you. Come make your home in His truth. See, I think God created us and designed us to be homemaking, home-seeking people, because God has promised to fulfill that longing in us for home. God promised us a place with Him for all eternity, and even right now, we are invited to abide in Him, dwell in Him, settle in with Him. No matter where you are, life with God is, has been, and always will be where you belong and come home. Would you take just a moment where you are, and let's just pray together, and let's just let this little moment of prayer be a way that we lean in and rest in God's presence, where we come home to God together. Would you pray with me? Lord, we are so thankful. You know us so well. You know the longings of our heart. You know, Lord, that without You, we will search to satisfy those longings in all kinds of places, but You call us to Your presence. You call us to make our home in You. Lord, You know, God, that we will want to have a place to call ours where we can go home at the end of the day. How essential that is to human life. And You're saying, God, we can make our home in You. Lord, would You help us to do that? Would You help us to lean into You? Would You help us to identify our need for You? And I pray, God, that even those who I'm praying with right now, where they are, they would have a sense of Your presence. They would know that the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling among them, inviting us to dwell with You. We want to do that. We choose to worship You. That's how we will make our lives a place where others find Your welcome. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for calling us home. Thanks for preparing a place just for us to be at home with You. It is in the name of our Savior. It is in the name of the One who said, I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you will also be. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray together and we say, Amen. God bless you. Let's worship before we're done.
Take my life and let it be consecrated. Impulse of
all sing together. Take my feet and let them be. Take my feet and let them be. Swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing. As our prayer, let's sing. Take my life, you repeat after me. Take my life. Take my life. Take my life. I give it once again.
I give it once again.
We sing it again from the depths of our hearts. Take my life. Take my life. Take my love.
And take my love, my God, I pour. At thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for
thank you for being with us today online. If you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during our service, or if you'd like to know more about what it means to follow Christ, let us know so we can have a pastor follow up with you. Email us at the address below or go to our webpage listed below as well. Let me close us today with this benediction from the book of Jude. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. We'll see you next week.